All right, so church, I'd like to welcome you to worship. Thanks for joining us this morning. It's a beautiful day, isn't it? I'd like to introduce you to the man on the screen. Some of you will know the man on the screen is Pastor Uriah St. Yeast. And in 2021, he will be pastoring at Dora Creek and the Newcastle Multicultural Church. Maybe it would be good to share a little bit with you about your new pastor, and I have his permission to do this. I was able to secure this photo from Google Images, so it's always amazing what you can find online. I believe this is his ordination photo. Pastor Uriah wrote this, and I'm allowed to share it. Pastor Uriah St. Yeast is a West Indian native and has worked in this conference for the last 13 years. He was ordained to minister in our conference in April 2013 and has pastored at Avondale Memorial, Waiee, Warhope, Camden Haven, Wingham, Gloucester, Newcastle Multicultural, and also the Windale Church Plant. Pastor Uriah is looking forward to being welcomed into the Dora Creek Church family as we work towards the soon coming of Jesus. Friends, I think it's fantastic that Pastor Uriah is been appointed to Dora Creek Church, and he is a fine young man. And I know he will receive the same support, prayers, and love that I have received for the last nearly 5 years. Today, my heart is heavy on another matter. And the thing that weighs heavy on me is that I know that many of our faithful church members scattered around Australia and New Zealand have been put in a position where, according to their own conscience, they have had to make important decisions about their health and about their careers. And that includes some of our beloved members here at Dora Creek. My heart also goes out to the pastors of the Victorian Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, who at the end of this week are also going to make those same health and career decisions. Friends, I don't think any of us really saw any of this coming when this pandemic started. Our prophecies tell us that the United States of America would speak like a dragon. And yet we find that here in our great land, we have compulsion and coercion. That's pretty much all I've got to say about that. For those of you with compassionate hearts, would you please pray for those people, including our beloved elders here, who are facing the loss of their employment. This afternoon, if you know of anyone who is in that situation, I'd like you to contact me, because there is a support meeting being run on Zoom for those people, and I would be happy to send them the link to that Zoom meeting. Well, we've just looked at Pastor Uriah, and we just read that he's looking forward to being welcomed into the Dora Creek Church family as we work toward the soon coming of Jesus Christ. And guess what? This morning, that's exactly what I want to talk to you about. The theme of the message that God has impressed on my heart's view is, how does Jesus Christ return to planet Earth during the second coming of Christ? Friends, as I look at the extended lockdown, as I look at the state of people's mental health, as I look at the stresses and strains on people, a lot of people are afraid. And so what would be the antidote to fear and a time of trouble? Then I believe the answer would be the blessed hope. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, our Saviour, and the blessed Holy Spirit, This morning, I want to come with you before you with praise and thanksgiving, because you are an awesome God. And I know that you are still in control of all of our destinies and all of our jobs and all of our health and all of our spiritual lives. So, Father, we have nothing to fear for the future. As we lean hard on Jesus, we memorize the promises, we live, talk, act, faith, that we might have an increase of faith. That I pray these beautiful words, the words of Scripture, will uplift every person's heart here today. And I have confidence to believe that Jesus Christ himself has heard and answered this prayer. And I pray it in his powerful and precious name. Amen. You have likely celebrated his birthday many times. It's the birthday of Jesus the Christ, born in Bethlehem almost 2,000 years ago. You know, we now look back at his birthday and we just commonly call it Christmas. You know, but for 4,000 years before Jesus' birth, God's people could not look back. But Jesus had not yet come. They could only look forward to his birth. And God kept reminding them that one day the Messiah would come. The scripture says in Numbers 24:7a, "There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall arise out of Israel." What a wonderful, heartwarming promise. Jesus was the promise that gave hope and vision to the people of Old Testament times. The prophets proclaimed his coming. Jesus Christ, which God hath spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. So for almost 4,000 years, the cry went out, "He is coming. The King is coming." Let all the people say, amen. Here is the blessed hope. Here is hope that you can take to the bank of heaven today. So we remember that one night in Bethlehem, in Luke 2:11, it happened. The angels appeared to the shepherds, and what did they announce? "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord." Friends, prophecy met fulfillment, and Jesus came as one of us, as helpless as being a baby, born in a stable, born into a world filled with pain and sin. And so Jesus grows up as one of us. He grows up as a carpenter who hewed wood, hammered and built, got tired muscles and slivers and blisters as he worked in his dad's shop. Jesus came to us as the master teacher, the divine healer, and the great comforter. But Jesus' main purpose was to come to deliver us from sin. And so he gave his life on the cross to save us from eternal death. He rose from the dead in order to seal his promise to us of eternal life. And then while hundreds watched, he ascended to his Father in heaven. But before he disappeared, he sent his two angels with a special message. They said, "This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him," what? "Go into heaven." And so, friends, the Old Testament prophets repeated almost 1,500 times that he will come. Then the New Testament writers announced over and over again, "He has come." And now today, the Word of God promises us repeatedly that he will come again. But we need to ask the question this morning, why will Jesus come again? Isn't it enough that he came once and gave us a clearer understanding of God's love? Isn't it enough that he came to show us the way, the truth, and the life? Isn't it enough that he came and gave us his life to save us from the power of sin and from eternal death? No, friends, all of this is not enough. There is more to God's glorious plan for us, because the death of Jesus Christ on the cross and the forgiveness he brought us, his walking out of the tomb in triumph and the power he gave us, these would accomplish nothing in the end if he did not return to rescue us from the world of sin and suffering. It is not his plan to pay the highest ransom ever paid to rescue us from sin and then leave us in the hands of our captor. There's one more vital step in God's plan of salvation, and that is to take us home to be with our Savior, Jesus Christ, to be in a place where we can only dream about. There's no poverty, there's no war, no sickness, and no death. There's also no lies and no deception. Right now, Jesus is actually preparing that place for us. He's guiding all those who love him and are preparing right now to be ready for that new home. A new friend can be in that new home he's preparing. For what did he say? I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know, Jesus actually wants to be with us. He's not putting us in a part of heaven where we can't see him and he's ruling separately. We're going to be where he is. We're going to see him as he is. Well, Jesus often directed his listeners to the time of the second coming. Even when he was being tried in that court, he told the high priest, "Hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, coming in the clouds of heaven," in Matthew 26:64. You know, to those who didn't love him, Christ's references to his second coming have always meant fear and dread. But to those who loved him, they were precious promises. Promises like this one. "And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." Here's another promise. "The Son of Man," Jesus' favorite word for himself, "the Son of Man shall come in his glory." And how many angels? All the holy angels with him. The promises that Jesus made to come again are throughout the Gospels. And we can be sure that he's going to keep those promises. In fact, the Bible is quite descriptive and clear on how Jesus will come again. In fact, one out of every 30 verses speaks about his second coming. Would you believe that's over 2,500 times the coming of Jesus Christ is mentioned in the ancient biblical writings, the Holy Scriptures? And together, these verses give a dazzling picture of his second coming. You know, Jesus said that his second coming would break across the skies in a brilliant display. He said, "For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even under the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Jesus reminds us that in the midst of momentous troubles and confusion, with wars raging, with famine and natural disasters rampant, he would come. He said, "Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn," which would be the wicked, "and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." So, friends, we know that Jesus' coming will not be in secret. The Bible is absolutely clear on that. In fact, it says, "Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye will see him. And as we discussed last week in the prophecy seminar, those clouds in outer space are clouds of angels. Not only shall our eyes see, but all of our senses will be aware of his coming. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Friends, we will not only see and hear his coming, but we will also feel something happening to us. As the Apostle Paul correctly said, then we which are alive and remain, God willing, shall be caught up together with them. That's the resurrected dead, those who died in Christ, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Friends, all the prophets, apostles, and Bible writers agree that Jesus will come with all his splendor in majestic glory, surrounded by how many? How many angels? All the angels of heaven. And what a day that will be. Friends and families will be reunited in this great resurrection. We think about the little children who have been snatched away by death, that they're placed back into their mother's arms. The lame are walking, the blind are seeing, the tired and weary will be charged with the vigor of eternal youth. And all those who have followed Jesus and long to be with him will finally see him face to face. What other events will happen when Jesus comes again? We've already seen that the dead in Christ will rise first. Jesus himself said that all who are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life. Jesus comes not only for the righteous who've died, but also for those who are still living when he comes. And as the Apostle Paul rightly said, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. But friends, what about those who don't love Jesus? What will happen to those who have chosen not to be a part of the kingdom of heaven? What happens to the wicked? The Bible tells us that when they first see Jesus coming, they will scream out to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb." To those who've turned away from Jesus, his second coming will be a day of utter dread and judgment. But the light of his coming, the brilliance of his power, will be the force that resurrects the righteous and transforms his living followers. But it will also be the force that destroys the wicked, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. How important it is for us to fully trust our lives every day to Jesus Christ. Don't you want to be able to say with the Apostle Paul, "I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." Friends, are you and I daily committing our lives in the morning, at noon, and in the evening to the kingdom of heaven? Are we saying, "Lord, give me strength to stand for you though the heavens fall. Give me strength to stand when every man and woman is against me. Give me strength to stand when my own Christian organization is going in a different direction. Give me faith and courage to stand against men and kings and empires and governments." You know, friends, it'll be our life of faith, won't it? It'll be our obedience to our Lord and Savior, which will decide in which group we're going to be in. Whether we are with those who meet the Lord in the clouds, or with those who are destroyed by Christ's brightness. Friends, I'm begging you today, and I'm asking you to determine now more than ever to be a moment by moment forever friend of Jesus Christ, to choose to be in that faithful, that righteous group at the second coming. Because you want to be in the clouds with Jesus on that day, for the earth will be absolutely unlivable. As the Bible says, the heaven departed as a scroll when it's rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Even today, we know this fact is true, that earthquakes are among the most dreaded of natural disasters. Recently, they've killed tens of thousands of people and even struck right here in Australia in our southern state. But at Jesus' second coming, the Bible says this, that there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. This earthquake will cause every city around the world to crumble. And as Revelation 16:19 says, and the cities of the nations fell. Then to complete this worldwide destruction, the Bible adds that there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven. From these verses, we can easily see the earth will be no place to live, because we'll want to be with Jesus on the way to heaven. We also see that Jesus' second coming will not be a quiet or secret affair. It's going to be accompanied by tumultuous disasters. But this will not be the end of our earth. First of all, there will come a tremendous cleansing by fire. As the Bible says, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. All the wicked, including the devil and all his angels, shall be burned up completely. As the book of Revelation says, fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. It didn't say it was devouring them. It said it was a finished work, that it would be completed. The burning of those who choose against the kingdom of God is not for the ceaseless ages of eternity. Let everybody praise God. So friends, God wants to make a clean universe. He doesn't want any trace of sin left. And after he's cleansed the earth, he will bring forth a new world. Behold, he says, I make all things new. And the Bible writer John says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. God will restore our earth to its original beauty and harmony. The Apostle Peter said it well when he wrote, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. To this new earth we will return. We shall build houses and inhabit them, and plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. We shall have every opportunity to reach our highest aspirations. I look forward to building a house. At the end of the day, it's wonderful to be able to see something standing and something that is in solid form for your day's work. We shall forever have our friend and Savior Jesus with us. And then the prophecy will be fulfilled of the increase of his government and peace. There shall be no end. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Friend, the question comes to us now. Are you and I ready for the second coming of Jesus? Is the second coming of Jesus and being ready and getting other people ready, is this the most important thing in your life and mine? Do you have a deep and abiding faith in his coming again? Because if you do, it will purify and uplift you as you feed on the blessed hope in these dark days. As you grow in your relationship with Jesus more and more, you will long to be able to say, "Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us." You will earnestly want his plan of salvation to be fully completed. And what a day that will be when he comes. God's people will shout out, "We have waited for him, and we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation." No wonder it's worth every effort to be ready for that day. It's worth every hour in Bible study and prayer that you now spend. It is worth drawing closer to your Savior, Jesus Christ. And it had his second coming. Friend, there's nothing on this earth can even faintly compare with this glorious hope, the second coming of Jesus Christ. His second coming will usher in an age when there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. No wonder it's worth every effort to be ready for that day. It is worth every hour in Bible study and prayer that you now spend. It's worth drawing closer and closer to our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let's look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And with the Apostle Paul, let's press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which comes through Christ Jesus. I know that many of you would say today that you're making Jesus first and foremost in your life. And I know that you are studying his word very closely. For now, in this time just before his coming, great deceptions are arising to throw us off the right track. Satan shall be going around as he is like a roaring lion, knowing that his time is running out. His time is very short, and he's bringing forth every deception possible. As Jesus Christ himself warned us, there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and show great signs and wonders. You just have to look at the false prophets on the internet to see all the false prophecies given out last year about the return of the Republican government to the Capitol. These were prophecies given by many men and women as divine revelations by God, but they failed and failed and failed again because they did not come from God. And so Jesus' words are true. There would arise false Christs and false prophets and show great signs and wonders. You know, if you and I choose to walk every day with Jesus, you and I will want to stay away from these false messiahs and false prophets. Even now they are bound. False gods are on every hand. Unbridled sex, materialism, Eastern cults, Satan worship, Spiritism. Perhaps someday someone will come to you and say, "But Christ has come already." What did Jesus warn us? He said, "Behold, I've told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, 'Behold, he's in the desert,' go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not." No, Jesus will not come to just a few to be hidden away in some secret place. His coming again won't be some mysterious event. It will be a glorious, magnificent, thunderous return that every eye will witness. The earth itself will bear witness to his coming by upheavals and earthquakes. We will see Jesus come with a cloud of angels, the number of which is 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Can anyone find out on their calculator what is 100 million angels squared? There's some homework. Friends, I'm asking you today, will you be there? You can be. Jesus wants you to be among the righteous, the obedient, the faithful remnant at his second coming. And he has provided a way, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. It's not what you can do that will guarantee your being with Jesus Christ. It's what Jesus Christ has done for you. He's died for you. He rose from the dead for you. And he will come back for you. I'm asking you to accept his plan for your salvation and look forward to the glorious hope of his coming again. I want you to take this final promise away with you. I love it. It's Titus 3 and verse 7. Being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs. We are made the inheritors, aren't we? According to the hope of eternal life, a life that never ends. Yes, Jesus Christ is coming back again. This is the hope of every follower of Jesus Christ. But I want to ask you today, is it your hope? Do you wish to see the face of your Savior? Or are you worried in your heart that you're not ready, that you've left it too late? Friends, the good news of the gospel today that makes the heart to sing and the feet to dance, as King David danced in joy before the Lord in the Old Testament, is that God is trying to see how many people he can cram into the kingdom of heaven, not how many people he can keep out. And all it takes is kneeling down and confessing your sins and asking Jesus to come into your heart and give you the power over a sinful lifestyle, to break the habits that are chains and holding you back from whatever path is taking you to hell. Father, Jesus is calling us today to a life of purity and witness for him. I'm asking today, do you long for and pray for his soon return? Are you willing to let him take your life right now and help you become his kind of person, his forever friend? Let us pray for a moment. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for providing a glorious hope beyond our mixed up world. Thank you that Jesus Christ is coming back again to save us from all this sin and suffering. Lord, some of us believe we're in the early time of trouble, and some of us believe that we're about to go in to the great time of trouble. Lord, we do not want to disappoint Jesus when he comes by not being ready for him. We don't want to waste his sacrifice for us on the cross. Father, help us with your grace to draw close to Jesus now, to again in this moment say yes and accept him as our Lord and Savior. Father, we want to be taken up into the clouds, and we want to be with Jesus when he comes and be with him forever. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Friends, I hope today that the message, the King has coming, the King is coming, has brought you great hope. That is my prayer for his name's sake. Amen. Our last hymn is Lift Up the Trumpet, and then I will finish with a benediction. And if you would like to share some questions and comments for a brief period of time afterwards, we invite you to stay with us. Thank you so much.